Welcome to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. I use this show to explore the often unspoken of and unseen depth in life. If I could make a suggestion, as you listen, just try to do so openly and without reacting too strongly. Resonant thoughts planted in the psyche have a way of growing into something new, transformative, and helpful if we have the courage to let them. If you do find you are enjoying this show, the best compliment you could give me is to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, or simply share the show with someone you think it might resonate with. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, the best way to do that is on Instagram at @RickAlexander_. Without further ado, on to the show. All right, happy Tuesday. So this week, what I'm going to do is a 4-part series on my new book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. And I'm going to read a little bit out of it and use that as a way to ground the conversation. And then I'll teach a bit after that, ways that I've seen this show up in people's lives, ways that it's certainly shown up in my own life, and perhaps just give you something to think about as you go through your day. So this starts from page 128, if you have the book. Every day, billions of people are trying to figure out what to do with their lives. They're surveying their options and trying to find a direction they'll be happy with. A 2015 study revealed that there are currently 23,887 universities for higher education in the world. Imagine how many programs in total there are between the tens of thousands of schools that offer them. We're having people at 18 years of age choose what to do with the rest of their lives from 23,000 options. Now consider the fact that you are one of those people. If you're starting to feel dissonance in your life and struggling to find out why, perhaps it's because your well-being has been at the mercy of a process that you don't fully understand. Man was not meant to fight 23,000 plus dragons in his lifetime, or even contend with the thought of doing so. As Schwartz points out in his TED Talk, when you order food at a restaurant, you can be completely content until your friends order something that looks better. Now you've taken away a bit of your own satisfaction just with the knowledge that other things exist. Consider the fact that we're doing this with every option in our lives, including where to work, where to live, and who to date. All of the options are great, right up until they're not. Due to the fact that we know choice makes us less happy, and because we have more choices than we ever have, is it hard to see why we're all searching for more happiness? What we really need in life is a yes so strong that everything else becomes a no. You don't have time to say no to 7 billion people. But when you start dating just one person you love, that is exactly what you're doing. And how might we apply that to every other facet of our lives? This is why we must prioritize finding the soul's path. Until the deepest parts of yourself recognize how you want to spend your life, the human side will flail in confusion. As we've seen time and time again, the first thing most people do when they want to find answers is to look outward. They research programs and categorize them based on interest, prerequisites, price, or whatever else they deem important. While rationale should certainly play a part in the decision-making process, we almost never stop amidst all of the chaos and just ask ourselves, what is it that we actually want, regardless of the right answer on paper? But maybe we should. If we prioritize what looks good on paper, we end up overlooking the day-to-day. We end up wanting to be the CEO without asking ourselves if we really want the day-to-day pressure of managing lots of people and making critical decisions about the well-being of an organization. What sounds good might not be what is good for you. And while asking yourself what you really want might seem like an obvious first step, we almost never actually use it. Instead, we have conversations about it with people we trust or like, and we think about it in passing. The inherent problem is that whenever we're in passing, we aren't capable of thinking clearly enough. We are essentially so busy consuming that there is no room in our minds for our authenticity to be expressed. So my question for you today is, what would the implications on your life be if you actually believed that you were a sovereign individual, that you were free from the tyranny of culture and society, free from the tyranny of your family's expectations, your own expectations, which are often stronger than any of those things? Like, if you could get to a place in your life where you recognize that you were not at the mercy of those things in your decision-making process, what would that do for it? What would your day-to-day life look like if the thing that you prioritized was the voice that was the deepest within you? Rob Bell, he used to be a pastor, and now he's kind of just an author and a writer. And I got into his work for a while, and I was listening to him one time, and he said, you know, one thing you find out is that the deepest voice within you was telling the truth this whole time. And that's something that I've really reflected on and thought about in my own life, because oftentimes, you know, I was getting out of the military, and so I'll use this as an example because it's a point of transition in my life. And I was trying to figure out what to do next. And I've talked about this on here. I had job offers and they didn't really pique my interest. It actually felt much more like the same kind of life that I was wanting a reprieve from. And at the same time, I was thinking, man, I do want to go back to school. I'm finding that I'm really thirsty for knowledge and just understanding life in a way that I hadn't up until then. And what's really fascinating is I started doing the spreadsheet thing. I started researching different psychology programs. I started putting them on spreadsheets. And I really, for probably a year and a half, I kept myself kind of stuck in this, should I go to school? Should I not go to school? And I was kind of going back and forth, and it was really wreaking havoc on my contentment. Now, the problem when you have these decisions that rattle around in your mind, oftentimes, well, first of all, sometimes we don't make a decision because we don't like any of the options presented. Right? And we're not taught that you can just throw the playbook out. You can just rip the script up and write a new one. Like, that's certainly not how most of us are raised. And in fact, the implications of the ways that we are raised is that, no, there is a script and you do have to live by it and you do have to go by it. And so what happens is we get put in our lives in the middle of all of these options. And as Barry Schwartz in his TED Talk pointed out, he actually wrote a paper on it called Can There Be Too Many Flowers Blooming? And he talks about the rise of entrepreneurship and how we are essentially making ourselves less happy simply because we are stuck amidst all of these choices. Now you can take those choices. Now take all of the pressure that you also feel in order to make those choices. And so what you end up with is that you're bogged down. Your mental capacity was not, as I said in the beginning of that passage, you weren't meant to contend with 23,887 dragons. And that's just schools, right? And then there's also military and there's also trade schools. And then between schools, there's programs. And so there's so much that you could do, right? It's endless opportunity. And sometimes that's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful for a lot of people in this world. But everything has a shadow, right? There's another side to that sword. And the other side to that sword is that if you are buried in expectations of who you should be, what you should like, what's presentable for your life, what people expect out of you, the role, if you never pull yourself out of the role that you've been playing, then what happens is you're mired in all of these choices and you don't have the ability to think clearly enough to know which one you should actually go to. And so learning to trust your own intuition is difficult, but also a process. Jessica DePozzi she's one of my colleagues in the Special Forces experience. She has a podcast called The Shadow Work Library. And in it, she actually talks a bit about learning to trust your own intuition. And I have an interview coming up with her. So now that I'm talking through this, actually, I think I'll ask her about it just to expose my audience. She has a great show if you want to listen to it. But yeah, like the idea that you can learn how to listen to yourself, but that you don't know how, right? That you don't know. You're just not taught to. You're not taught to prioritize the self. And in my book, I talk about this idea that, so we go through our lives and we get these gut feelings. So gut feelings are incredible, right? Because that's often your intuition telling you something. But the problem is, if you've not learned to refine that intuition, if you've not learned to discern what means what within you, that's happening within you, it's often that you'll just have a bad feeling or something along those lines, and you'll just follow that to a place that's unhelpful. So if you don't learn to listen to the gut reaction, and you also don't know how to sort through the things that you're feeling, then often one of the things that'll happen to you is that you will act on gut reactions that aren't helpful. Like, you know, maybe you'll shut down when your lover says something to you, or, you know, who knows, we get triggered in all of these different ways. And one thing that's worth considering too, that I've noticed in my own life anyway, is that when you do start to listen to the self, when you start to like ask yourself the tough questions and you realize, you know, maybe I just don't want any of the options that I've thought were presented for my life. Like, maybe I want something completely different and I just don't know how to go about getting it. Well, then you start taking steps toward that life, and something interesting happens, which is the people around you tend to reject those steps. It's worth understanding that you are not required or obligated to play games that you've unconsciously agreed to play in the past. And so what I mean by that is, like, you have roles in your life, and pulling ourselves out of our roles is one of the most difficult things we can do in this life. But you're just not obligated to play those roles if they're not actually yours. And so we go around carrying all of these expectations and all of these roles for who we should be. And they were never ours in the first place. And so what we have to learn to do is actually set those down in a graceful way, knowing that when people, you know, that's going to make other people uncomfortable because their roles, like how they conceive of themselves, their ego, is often in relation to your role in their life. And so they use you as a prop for themselves. And I don't say that pejoratively. I just mean it's like, it's exactly kind of how we make sense of our world. Like, we order things and then we have this social efficiency where we label people and then we keep them as that, right? It takes a lot of effort to look at someone for who they truly are, who they're growing into, what the nuances of them are. And so what we do is we just kind of label them and then we're like, okay, they're that and I'm this. And so now I know me and I know you. And so if you start taking steps toward a different you, a deeper you, whatever, however you want to do it, it might make other people uncomfortable. And in the past, perhaps you didn't understand how to listen to the soul because you weren't taught. And so that's why I say you're not obligated to play games that you unconsciously agreed to in the past. It's really important to understand, because we'll do that for our entire lives, never pulling ourselves out of our family systems, out of our family roles. And what you'll find is that if you never do, you'll end up living a life with a mask on. And we have to, for a certain amount of time. I mean, I don't think we have to, but we're taught to, and we do. Taking that mask off is one of the most liberating, if not just most satisfaction-invoking feelings that you can have, to like truly be who you're here to be without the roles, without the expectations. And so when I ask you, what would your life look like if you really knew that you were a sovereign individual? That might be something worth considering. If you are digging this and you have not checked out my book, I will link it up in the show notes of this episode in case you want to pick a copy up. Anyway, I love you. We'll talk tomorrow on Morning Coffee.